In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're tuned in to the Gangster Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Welcome to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. This is Alex Alonso from Street TV, a.k.a. StreetGangs.com. I'm here with my other two co-hosts.
Reggie Wright.
And Big James.
And Reggie Wright is also from Bomb First. Make sure you check him out every Tuesday night at 7:30 West Coast time. And catch him at Instagram at Reggie.Wright.Jr. And James is on Facebook at James McDonald. And he's also on Instagram at BIGGJ3636. And you could also hit him up there and get those shirts, which will be delivered in 1 to 2 days. And you can find me on all platforms at AlexAlonso101. This is episode 23. We want to thank you guys for listening to us each and every week. And we also want to encourage you to go back and binge watch if you want. I've had quite a few people inbox me about binge watching the Gangster Chronicles in 1 or 2 days. So yeah, go back to episode 1 because many of our episodes are related. If you're on iTunes, please give us a rating and a review. 1 to 5 stars, 5 stars meaning that you love the show. And also, in addition to rating the show, share the link. Take the link of the show or take the link to this episode and share it with another friend. And for those of you who are not on iTunes or don't have access to iTunes, you could also listen on Google Play, Spotify, and radio.com. And don't forget, we have our live show coming soon, September 26th. That's a Thursday. We'll be doing a live show. So check out the website, thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com, so you can find out the location. I don't think the location has been officially announced yet, but September 26th, on that Thursday, we'll be doing that live show. And you can go to thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com to get tickets and to watch a live show, which we'll be doing probably a 2-hour show with a Q&A after. So you can come hang out with Reggie and James and myself and support the show.
I think Norman told me that it's posted on Instagram now, so okay. You should be able to get it.
So go to the Instagram, which is also The Gangster Chronicles Podcast on Instagram as well. So last week we had Glasses, and guess who came back?
Glasses.
But since we went right into Glasses last week, I didn't really get to do a fact check. So I want to do a fact check from a couple weeks ago. I actually said that Ice Cube hadn't put out an album in a while. Somebody corrected me and said he put out an album in 2018 called Everything's Corrupt. That would have been his 10th studio album. I didn't really.
Only 10?
I didn't really check it out.
He came out.
Yeah, I confirmed it. It is.
It's a song. He had a single with Too Short on there where they sample. What's that old song?
Was it good?
It ain't nothing like his early albums.
It's hard for people to be still really good. It's,
and that's what we were talking about 2 weeks ago about 40-year-old rap, 40 and up. How many of the 40-year-old rappers and older are still relevant today? And we went through a whole list of them. I don't know. What do we say about Ice Cube? He's still relevant, but in terms of music and putting out albums, he hasn't put out a major hit in a minute.
It just really depends on
what. Scarface.
I think we mentioned
Scarface.
Scarface.
Yeah.
Scarface is hard.
Yeah.
Fucking fire. 40 is still real good. E-40 is really still good.
And 2 Chainz is over 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got, he's.
Cube, it might be the production. I think he needs a challenge, and I think he kind of just going, staying in his comfort zone, and it ain't challenging
because
himself.
Because he got so goddamn much money.
How could you really deliver hip-hop if you don't? Yeah.
Well, he's got his basketball league. I'm sure he's putting a lot of energy and effort into getting that thing successful.
Yeah, he says it's going to take 5 years before it make a profit.
Yeah. All right, also, I think, Reggie, you asked about Nelly, how old he was. We didn't know, but I looked it up. He was born in 74, so that makes him 45 this year. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think he's really doing much music
lately. I got a new song with Nelly in E-40.
Okay.
He sound good still.
E-40.
And listen to this. Wait up. I'm sorry, James.
Go ahead.
I mentioned Ice-T last week, 2 weeks ago, saying that I still think he spits fire. Reggie laughed at me. But you was in the studio. I was there. You, King T, Ice-T was spitting some bars that I ain't never heard Ice-T spit before.
Was fucked up, man. And I'm not going to lie on Ice-T. Like, that motherfucker still can rap.
I try to tell. Talk to Reggie.
He might be better now than he was then.
What did I say? What did I say 2 weeks ago?
Marinated.
I said, this guy, Ice-T, is spitting harder bars than he's ever spit before.
He got a song called Feds in My Rearview. Ice-T is cold. What's funny, I did a podcast called The Red Alert with Van Lathan for TMZ. And, I was talking about the 5 most important songs on the West Coast, like influential and important. And 6 a.m. was the first song that you could name because it was the storytelling. And so to hear him do another story with Feds in My Rearview, I thought that was dope. That came out this year, 2019.
And ain't nobody. Is what?
Ain't nobody.
He's over 50.
He's 60s.
Nah, he's late.
Yeah, he's way older than 60.
He's late 50s. I don't think he hits 60.
He's older than me.
No, he in his 60s.
So he about 56,
no,
57.
No, he in his 60s. Ice-T is 60-something. He got to be like 61, 60.
Well, he right there what's the boy?
He a little older than Dre.
From New York.
Who?
Not Kumo D. What's his name? Curtis Blow.
He's in his 60s.
Yeah, he right there with Curtis.
He was already a grown adult man when Breaking came out.
Yeah.
And I remember going to see that when I was a little kid.
Yeah, that was 85. Yeah. That came out in 85.
He was probably 26 then or something. So, he got to be in his 60s. And he sound good. That motherfucker could rap. I got a song with him and Snoop that's hard as shit.
Oh.
Ice-T and Snoop.
Now, when you was recording in the studio, was that earlier this year or late last year?
That was early this year.
Early this year. Was you doing a song with King T and Ice-T?
So what happened was Ice-T was working on a project for a partner. Like, I really thought that was cool. Ice really still fuck with his partners. Like, if you start a company, like, he came back and did some songs for his partner who started the company. Like, I'm going to just make some songs for you so you can get your company off the ground. And he called me. He was like, hey, G, would you come to the studio? I'm like, yeah, I'll come through for you, G. Just tell me where's that. So we go to the studio. It's King T in there. It's a couple other, like, legendary dudes. Breeze is somebody I didn't know about, but, like, was supposed to be, like...
MC Breeze?
Not Breeze, not that Breeze. So, Breeze is, like, a L.A. crew dude. So, like, Pooh, when they first started, this is a little bit before my time, but it's Pooh, Bobcat, whoever they was producing, this dude was, like, the guy. It was some other dudes, I can't remember.
Hen-G was there.
Hen-G, but they were all competitive. Like, they was fucking with King T because it was taking him long to make a verse. And they had jokes and shit. And I was like, these motherfuckers are still competing at 50 and 60 years old on the mic. Like, motherfucker, like, oh, it's taking you so long, King T. And King, you know, T was in there, like, he hadn't rapped in a year or two, so he was kind of putting it together. And they was like, They buzzing me, making jokes and shit. Like, it's taking you forever. I'm like, this shit is crazy. That fucked me up.
Well, Glasses is correct. Ice-T was born in 1958. That makes him 61 years old.
60, dog.
He's probably the only over 60 rapper in the game.
And he sound good as shit.
He does.
He sound really good.
And you would think once he started his movie career that you lose interest in rapping and knowing, man, I'm too old to be rapping and going to do rap concerts and shit like that. So he's more in a comfort zone when it comes to, you know,
He put out a video, Feds in My Rearview. The motherfucker shit is hard, man. The motherfucker could still rap. He got a song. I got a song, like I said, with him and Snoop, and he sound, like, really good. It fucked me up.
So is he doing an album, or is he, I mean, what he doing? He was just fucking around?
So he made them songs. I don't know how. He put out some music with them, like a presentation, like Ice-T Presents. And I rapped on like one or two of the songs. He did some stuff with Exhibit, different people. And he was just rapping, but he sounded good and he was writing this stuff. And that really blew me away. Cause you know, usually when people get to a certain place, they like, I ain't got time to write all these raps and shit. That motherfucker came in there, like struck his shit up, dropped that shit. I was like,
still doing it like that?
Like that. Fuck me up.
I guess you don't lose it. Once you got it,
you don't really lose it.
Nah, a lot of rappers lose it over the years.
Some of them really just for real.
They lost it. That's why y'all ain't never heard the song before.
Who?
The ones y'all talking about lost it. That's why y'all ain't never heard the song before in your life.
I ain't never heard the song.
Exactly. I was in the studio listening to it, and I was like, this
dude. You don't even know the name.
Nah, I mean, I was there for a whole nother purpose. You know,
it's all about marketing, too, though. You got to know how to market, and it's right up your alley. It's right up your alley. You got to know how to market some of this shit. I think rappers should still rap at 50 and 60. But you got to dig
the
in your bag.
And all of that, the stuff that they did that made them big and made them famous.
Nah, when you have grandkids, you can't be talking about fuck the police.
So my point is, the stuff they're hits. Charlie Wilson don't go, and he ain't do. I'm
he
going to watch
songs?
The OG. No, not like that. But I'm going to watch the OJs and the Spinners this Friday.
OJs gonna come out with a new album?
I don't want to hear nothing. Oh, I want to hear, I'm missing Brandy. I want to hear all of that. I don't want to hear none of this new shit that they say.
That's the worst shit for a rapper in the world. Motherfucker be like, rap your first song.
I made a song called
200. It was my first song off the street. And it was, if the beef gonna pop, all my niggas ride through. Got 100 crips with me and 100 power rules. I ain't scared. And it was like this dope song. Motherfuckers be wanting me to rap it. I be like, nigga, I don't remember the words of that song.
That's why you better have a dance. Yeah.
That's how you know you've been rapping a long time.
Well, I don't think nothing wrong with it, because I think the old school rap outweighs all this new shit anytime.
I don't know why motherfuckers don't put out more albums. Like, Sheik Loose from the Locks got better over time. Cube just ain't challenging. He just needs the producer. I think it's the production. That's my opinion. I think it's the production that ain't challenging him.
I like Kool Moe Dee. I like
a new Keith Sweat album.
Big Daddy Kane.
You like to hear new Keith
Sweat?
I like
that type of music.
Keith Sweat ain't that old.
Keith Sweat?
He ain't that old.
I want to hear a motherfucker begging to a goddamn
everybody with their choices.
Nobody.
you don't want to hear any begging?
No, man. If you rap and you sing, you should keep making music if it's in you. Feel me? Shit, you don't stop. Like, getting older don't mean you stop. You supposed to have more wisdom and more game.
Okay.
Feel me? Like, I pull the song out my ass.
What can Dre rap about now? We don't want to hear him talking about taking ecstasy pills, riding in a 6'4". Is this what you get so
he
old?
He don't have to rap that no more.
Well, he's
he
not
can
really
rap
a rapper.
Anything.
Is it fair to say he's not really a rapper?
Dre is why he can't rap about
a DJ.
The way
Chronic and
now.
Chronic 2001 were two of the biggest albums in the history of hip-hop.
Reggie, why he can't rap about the way he's living now?
Being a billionaire and this and that, because we can't relate to it. I don't want to hear it.
Shit, but that's what everybody
else
wants to
relate to,
right?
Nobody rapping about being married. Jay-Z got an album talking about with his wife. I'll be like, I don't know
what's going
on.
That's why we don't know the name of the song. That's why we can't think about it.
Yeah. But you still, but then again.
I mean, but you know, we think of Jay-Z, we thinking about Hard Knocks.
Your life ain't
Blueprint.
Hard no more. So you don't want to hear people rap about like regular lifestyle?
Not when it's way up there. I don't want to hear about.
You don't want to hear nothing about a rich nigga. No, trying to get to where he at. You just.
I can't.
Nigga, I don't want to hear you talking about rolling in your Benz.
I think that's why Death Row was successful. Death Row was for the average man. And that's it was what the commons, man. The commons. You got to think, like, the outfits they was wearing, them outfits was $72, top to bottom.
That's my whole point.
Pendleton, T-shirt, khakis, and a chest.
You feel related. You feel like you was there.
Spent $100, has some change.
Time has changed, man. Yeah. Time has changed. And you don't want to be stuck in the past, but I don't mind going back to the past for a few, you know.
I don't want to hear no 45, 50-year-old rappers, to be honest.
I mean, there's some rappers that you don't want to hear them. Like, can you imagine Hammer doing an album?
He dances. That's not.
He's a party.
Yeah, hell no. Can you?
But I'll go watch Hammer do a show.
But can he still move like that?
Hell yeah.
At his age.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hey, remember when Snoop at the end of Snoop Dogg trial, me and Hammer had that little dance contest. Was you there?
I was there. Me and Hammer had a little dance contest.
Shit, that
nigga was Hammer was really finna sign a Death Row too.
Hammer was over there. Hammer Time Records.
But Hammer needed money though.
Yeah.
It's crazy. One time I talked to Suge, I talked to Pops about it, and he was telling me how much money they spent to get Snoop out of jail.
Well, not just to get him out of jail, because that was just $1 million. But
I mean, to fight
the case. $4.5 to $5 million.
That is fucking crazy.
Well, and I saw an interview that he did today where he told me, I ain't never seen $1 million check. Yeah, motherfucker, because your first album was already upside down, $4.5 million, $5 million. For the trial, not to even count the studio, the videos, and your cost of living.
See, I could just ask y'all motherfuckers questions all day. Because this is all kind of shit I need to plug in so I understand in real time. Even
and
you.
Most of his songs were samples. And you know in the game about ain't no publishing money left if you don't if everything's sampled.
I got to clear a sample right now that came with that came from Side Effect. And
they probably go 100%, at least 75%, because you asked.
Yeah, but see, me.
Just because you asked.
I realized when there ain't no white person in between, it worked out.
It worked better. So they only wanted 50%?
No, no. I got a real good, sweet deal. Okay. The lady wrote the lyrics I've been up and I've been down. That was my mom's song.
So you're not taking the beat or anything, you're just taking some lyrics.
And the beat.
And the beat.
But if you reach out to the people yourself,
it does.
It's because people like, you know, they know you a young brother like you, me, people. Like, especially now on Instagram, I went right in her. What's her name?
Are we boring you, James?
No. I was trying to show y'all this video.
What's the lady's name? I've been up. She was the lead singer of Side Effect.
I don't know.
The last group. Side Effect. I've been up. Did you just hit her up? I've been down. I hit her on Instagram. And she got Instagram.
But does she have administration rights?
Yeah, I checked me a month. See, one thing about me is...
You do your homework.
I used to sell a lot of Sherm.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of Sherm. Like, my neighborhood is really popular for selling Sherm. I took it serious from knowing how to do it, how to make it. So, just with music, like, I reach out.
You know anybody ever blew themselves up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of my friends
That's what people don't know about it. Yeah. That's what people don't know about that.
What's funny is, so, at Paramount High School, right, they had an AP chemistry class.
Okay.
That was one of the earliest, a Grignard reaction was one of the earliest experiments. Like,
so, you know the recipe? You know how to make?
Hey! We don't care.
I'm just asking a goddamn question. See, you should never be broke in
here. But I already,
You gave it up.
I quit.
Yeah,
I quit.
Exactly.
That's how I ended up doing music for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was either going to be prison or like paradise. I was going to be paid. Mickey Howard. Yeah, Mickey Howard. That's her name.
Mickey Howard. Oh, yeah.
So I hit her right on IG.
Mickey. You know how Big West used to manage her.
Big West was
yeah. Big West didn't want to be hanging out with Al Heyman and all them.
Oh wow,
he was a bodyguard and everything. You remember? You know Big West very well.
Big West, he ride motorcycles.
He was when she was a freakin'. Is he right? Was
he on the motorcycle?
He the one that had the soul chain there. You remember? Everybody used to be in love with that Chinese, that Asian looking chick with the long hair.
Mickey Howard.
Oh, you talking about shit, people?
Big West.
So I hit her. I hit right. I got in her DMs and started talking to her.
Okay, Mickey. So she owned her publishing. Okay.
I mean, they did publishing deals for some songs, but this song specifically,
she owned. Got you.
So
okay.
But if you
just be careful, make sure.
Yeah,
they be lying. Artists be lying.
but you know, if you go to BMI, right,
you
can check
you.
The database. It tell you exactly you want it.
Yeah.
So
we were talking about that last night, a couple of nights ago on Bomb First, about the publishing and samples and all of that.
And again, like, most of this stuff is all like, if you ain't distracted by life, you could like look it up and find it.
Yeah.
Like, I found it. It took me a little second. I had to go through ASCAP. Then when I went to BMI, I found it.
Okay.
And then, like I said, the lead singer, the front man from Side Effect and Mikey, he produced it and Mickey Howard wrote the song.
Okay.
So I just went right to her.
Okay.
And working it out with her ever since.
Oh, Mickey. Freaking the night. Freak in the Morning. That, she had that hit.
That's a Dina Howard.
That's man. A Dina Howard.
Yeah, you did some movie like that, bro. I'm rolling over in her grave. Like, no, that's a Dina Howard.
That's a Dina Howard.
Were they related? So you know, no.
They both was on some stuff.
Yeah.
They had a look the same. I could see how we
so,
did that.
So Big West didn't do
Big West had.
He had a Dina
Howard. Dina Howard was fun.
So how Big West doing over there?
I don't know. I don't
oh, you ain't seen him?
No, you always see him now in the fights. He be with Ticket Man Sam and he's still Al Heyman right hand man. You know, he always in the ring with
so still
Al
there.
Heyman. He's still with Al Heyman.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Like, how did Al Heyman plan the death row?
Not really nothing. Shit just used to work for him. That's what the shit was doing, security.
Al Heyman been getting this money for a long motherfucking time. Bud White at the
Superfest. Yeah,
the one. We started off with the Budweiser
Superfest. And that was towards the end because my parents, in the 70s and 80s, they were going to San Diego for the whole weekend. That was like Essence. Like,
and we that know was Essence all now. Al Heyman's thing, huh?
That was all Al Heyman. Well, I'm sure he had other investors and stuff, but that was.
He was cracking.
Al Heyman production. And then that's he took it from crazy. There, you know, to about the mid-90s. Then he went into boxing.
That's crazy. Boxing. I'm a big boxing fan.
Yeah.
I fuck a boxing hard.
Cool. All right. I want to ask you guys if you heard about this gang member from 5-9 Brim in New York City. He had a mother that actually worked for the Department of Justice as a paralegal. He gets charged for a case, and then moms finds out that one of his homies is snitching on him, and she starts to expose the snitches.
One or several?
Yes.
She just started putting names out there.
She started feeding the information to her son, and the federal government alleges she also took a videotape confession by one of the informants and posted it on YouTube.
That was on his case?
That was a snitch on his case, yes.
Her son's.
So on her son's case.
Now everybody see this. Okay, if that was your son, would you do it?
Man.
Is she wrong?
I mean, I commend her for having the balls to do it.
It's the most. It's one of the most.
She lost her job.
Yeah, I commend her still for having the balls. But you know, some people love their family more than their job.
Okay, so is she wrong for doing it? You can commend her all day, but is she, would you do it?
I don't have the guts or the heart to do it, but I don't know because what I do for my son. Because I seen the things that my dad did for me when I was in a situation. And all of that, where he kept his mouth shut and did some things too. So I don't know how to, I would react for my child.
You'd do it.
I'm sure. Yeah.
For your kid, man. It's yeah. Sick.
My mother did anything for us, and to have three boys in the position that she had, all of them was in the street doing different type of shit. She was there for each and every last one of us. She didn't see no wrong. There was no wrong in her eyes about us.
Yeah.
So
that's why you're slapping teachers and all that shit. Huh?
Well, slapping teachers is different, Reggie. I don't put your career out there. I don't put mine.
You just did it on a god doggone interview, nigga. Oh, I said, damn, he slapped Miss Wormy.
Miss Wiry.
Miss Wiry,
I slapped shit out of her. She put a big ass hit.
That was our fourth grade teacher. That was a fourth grade teacher.
Miss Wiry.
Yeah, oh, man. I was like, what the hell?
I was in the third grade.
Yeah, third or fourth grade.
She was trying to rough you off.
Grade when she tried to. She was pulling my.
Yeah, she was aggressive. Black teacher.
Just trying to like snatch me to the office. And so what happened with that is she kept pulling me and pulling me, and then she stopped and grabbed my shirt. You better come on in here. You coming. And I just hit it. Pop.
I went to Walton. You could get like, I remember Miss Clark used to have that little thick wood thing at Walton.
Yeah. Hey man, I was so bad in elementary. I had this incident with Michael Tatum when we moved in the hood, 73, 74. And these guys was actually trying to, like, where you live at, woof, this new kid on the block. Yeah. I ain't say shit. I just walked away, went back to the house, got two big-ass butcher knives, and went back to school. And when I seen Michael Tate on the playground, I started chasing that ass with the knives, trying to poke him in his ass, just gigging.
I told you, bad.
Nobody
ass.
Ever fucked with me in school since then.
No more.
I was looking at old pictures, like, high school pictures and how in the 50s Compton High School was all white still.
Yeah. Where we was at, we bought our house from a white guy and there was still white people there. Yeah.
Man, so both of y'all from Compton. So this is a good question I can ask y'all.
Right around the corner from
here. Right? So have y'all ever met anybody that worked off Alameda or in them warehouses where we used to street race on Manville?
No.
How is it all these hundreds of jobs that are for careers?
Lumber came there. Back in the days, General Motors was over there.
Well, he talking about, I mean, you talking about near Watts. About Manville.
And right. I'm talking about straight down Alameda, too. All of those jobs.
Now, yeah, my aunt worked at GM.
Way back then, they were taking, that's when the train used to come through there.
Right there.
Periodically. Now, they start knocking them houses down, and they start building these pretty much warehouse kind of opening businesses and shit. So when they start doing it, it was just basically like, and there's always been the Mexicans right there.
Yeah.
Windshields, tires.
The junkyards.
The lumber yard.
But they got all kind of like oil things and all that. And I never met nobody my whole life. Yeah. Like I said, growing up right there around, I never met nobody black.
Where
are
you talking about?
None of those places.
It's across the street from L.A. Jordan.
Back then,
L.A. Jordan, anybody know where
it is? But even coming down, like if you get closer to Alondra and Compton Boulevard and you come to Greenleaf, there's like factories, not just, they got the junkyards. But they have some like oil refineries. It's hundreds of jobs over there and nobody I know black worked there.
But we wouldn't go over there to get a job. We ain't finna go over there and do that type of work.
Well, GM was by
General Motors was our shit. Yeah. That's where
everybody worked.
All the black
everybody parents was over at GM.
But all of those other jobs like the lumberyard
and Lockheed. Most of our parents worked at Lockheed.
Oh, that's right around the
corner. Yeah, and you had some black people.
Yeah, so that's from the projects and stuff.
I've been trying to figure out forever. Like you got these jobs, right? If nobody from our community, like none of the Mexicans from the community worked there. You ever notice how much traffic it is leaving out of Compton, like on Alameda, And when you get on a, where the new center is, where all them car lots. When I was little, it was all them car lots right there.
Well, Brett Mitchell started owning there. You remember Brett Mitchell?
No, that's before my. I knew the car lots was there. But I didn't know who was the person was the owner. But I'm saying it's so much traffic. It's like everybody got jobs in the city, and then they leave and go back to where they live.
And that's why every business on Alameda is still there because of the high volume of traffic. I don't care what you do right now today. If you needed anything for your car, if you needed anything, you can go up Alameda and find it.
And then the cool thing about it, they got the big old casino in there. And guess what? And look it up. It's called Crystal Park City.
Yeah.
It's not even Compton.
And how did that, let me ask, I'm sorry, I got a thousand questions, so I know this all right. Shit, but let me get these questions off, because I don't know.
All that industrial area over there, they don't even call that Compton.
When did they change the, exactly.
Yeah.
Is that a tax thing?
No, they just did it because they didn't want to be associated with the name Compton.
They call it,
something district. I
no, because it was Rancho Dominguez.
Well, that's behind Compton College. That's behind Compton College, but that's really
that
county
was
area.
Compton. That was
but that's county area, though. They
don't even consider Atlantic and Rosecrans Compton because that's considered
County area.
Rancho Dominguez, something like that.
All of it, Lion Park. Lion Park really isn't Rancho Dominguez.
Yeah, but it's supposed to, that's all Compton.
Yeah, but they,
that's crazy. But think about it, right? If all of those businesses is paying taxes, the community taxes that people have, if you take them away from the city, then you cripple the economy of the city. And then you have this random thing going on where you're paying taxes into Rancho Dominguez. Or like in Watts, they call it Willowbrook.
Yeah, Willowbrook.
So now you don't have to pay taxes. So when these...
They call it unincorporated area for some reason. Yeah.
So all these businesses paying taxes, they taxes, the state and all them taxes, all of that money should, to some degree, like have something to do with the city, but it don't have to no more because it ain't considered Compton. That's funny. Y'all never worked at none of those places?
No. Well, I worked at one that was called Tigard Steel, and they had two of them. They had one in Paramount and one right before where the tracks cut, and where that's, what I say, Manchester and Alameda.
Okay. So, Firestone.
Yeah, Firestone. Mm.
But Firestone Shares. Firestone Shares. I've heard about Firestone Shares.
So, it all depends. You got some of them there. You got some brothers that still work down there.
Yeah.
But our problem is we ain't finna crush cans. My grandfather, my uncle, just retired 51 years. My other uncle retired 50 years working at an aluminum place. Good benefits, get paid every Friday, and it's called Albert and Albert.
What happened to the job you had?
Man, that's a small world. You know, those are my
people.
They
left and went to, they had the one in Paramount. They left and went
to. So you worked all the way till they left?
Yeah, I worked until they left. I mean, back then, 18, 19 years old, getting a little check, cool check every
week. So it was a fair check?
Yeah, it was cool.
It wasn't McDonald's?
Oh, no, it wouldn't. No, we wouldn't, man, we wouldn't doing that.
Yeah. I know, that's what I'm saying. So if they paying fair, it makes sense.
Yeah, they pay cool. They pay real cool. But what happened is those people didn't want to stay there because all the shit. If you go and look had the white people coming and looking to your business, and you got all the gang riding, and you got people sleeping out in front of the business, they didn't want to be there no more. And a lot of them left because of that. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't clean it up. They couldn't clean it. It just, I don't know. They sold the motherfucker. They moved on, and we tried to go to the one in Paramount, but they was... You know, full.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And why did they ever get rid of the Compton Police Department?
Well, there was this crooked mayor.
Omar Bradley.
Named Omar Bradley. Got indicted. He's, for some reason, Alex wanted to be his best friend for some reason. I think he's trying to do an interview with him or something.
I feel it was unfair what he was convicted of.
But anyway.
Misappropriation of funds. Guess what he was spending money on? Golf items. A pair of shoes. It's not like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's all they got convicted of, but he was...
Small... No, he was convicted of spending less than $5,000
like
over 10
you
years.
You asked why so I was about to tell you until I was rudely interrupted.
I'm sorry,
no.
A thousand questions that y'all must
I
y'all
rudely
know
interrupted because you said you
I
made
really
the comment.
Because I don't know.
But what happened was, so this crooked mayor, he was getting investigated, and he wanted the chief of police to go and say, hey, why are the feds on me? Why is they on me? Chief of police was like, hey, I'm not going to them and ask them why they investigating you. If you're doing something wrong, don't do it. Leave it alone. But the chief of police, when he was a commander, he had given him heads up because prior to that, Walter Tucker Jr. and Pat Moore and all of them had got indicted. And so he had pulled Omar Bradley's coattail and told him before about always trash companies. I watch the Italians and the Merkel.
It's the Armenian-owned trash company every single time in Compton.
Yeah, they get you. And so anyway...
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Armenians own the trash company in Compton?
It's all a front, though.
Yeah.
It's all a, hey, let's do some business dealings, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. I got this trash company. Maybe you could pay me.
Wait a minute. Armenian people own the trash company in Compton?
Yeah. No, they did, Merkel. It was called Merkel. Now Waste Management, but however. So they ended up getting the casino. They the one that started bingo and all of that. They ended up getting the license for the casino in the city of Compton. So that's all of this going on with these people. But they eventually became informants for the feds once they got caught up. And so anyway, Omar was knowing he was getting investigated and all of that, and they was trying to get him. And
so the chief Omar sought out to this band Compton Police Station.
So what he did, because
so
he was mad.
Just a personal vendetta.
It was a personal vendetta.
That might have been one of the worst things that happened to Compton.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I think the Compton Police was more integrated into the neighborhood. And
in a sense,
it's more like you can have more effect. Strangers, it's hard.
But you know what? One thing about them, they didn't cut that. They didn't. I mean, to have all those black officers out there like that, you know.
I can say they all got hired by the sheriff. So when everybody talked that crooked, they were so crooked.
I'm
not talking about you. I'm just talking about people that's out there, your boy over there, and you know they think that. But I'm just want to say they all got hired by the sheriff.
Yeah, they
department.
All became employed by the LA County Sheriff Department,
and they all did well. I mean,
I have no problem with the Compton PD.
Yeah.
In fact, the Compton PD rarely shot people that were unarmed.
Yeah,
they rarely had officer-involved shootings.
That's the solution to all the police shootings.
Yeah.
And none of them got indicted.
Yeah.
There are no indictments of any Compton PD officer.
The thing is, the reason it works better is because those are people from the community. The first time I ever got in trouble, I stole a car. We stole a car in Paramount. And we was driving it back because my boy Dave had a Seville. We wanted to fix his Seville, so we stole a car.
Yeah.
He come pick me up in the middle of the night. Well, it was actually it was the middle of the night, maybe like 1 a.m. I'm so pumped up because we stealing cars for no reason. I leave out without no shirt and shoes on. Because I just need you to bring the car back to the, bring it back
yeah,
to
drive it back.
Put it back on occasion. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I'll go with you. So we go get the car. So I'm coming back. When I'm coming back to bring the car back, I'm going to come down Greenleaf to come to the backside. We coming up. I come down Atlantic, come onto the little street where Atlantic drives at, and just blow through the stop sign. Police pull me over. Feel me? I got my license and everything in my pocket. He not harassing me or nothing. I'm like, he got my license. He's like, you got your insurance? I can't open the glove box of Cadillac, the motherfucker locked. It's like, man, it's locked. I don't got my other key. Blah, blah, blah. He not paying no attention. Finally, something in him. He look it up, see his thoughts. He's like, it's a bad day, man. So I went with him. I was sick. I was like, damn. That motherfucker let my mom come get me.
Yeah.
And could have put me in prison. I just turned, I had just turned 18.
Mm.
Excuse me.
Did you have a record at the time?
No.
Well, that's why you went home.
But, I mean, he didn't even put me through nothing. He could have made my life hard as hell.
I had a kid about
that stopped me from stealing cars
about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was just walking in the store, minding my own business, and he said, "Reggie," he said, "Hey, Reggie." Well, everybody call me Little Reggie. Little Reggie. He said, "Man, I just want to tell you thank you." He said, "Man, you caught me with some dope on Macmillan. I remember it was on Macmillan Street, over Dave and them house, in front of Dave and them house. They were hiding all the cocaine up under their watch." At the time, that's how he was. And he said, man, and his mama came, because he was a juvenile. He was like 16, 17. His mama came over there crying and then started beating him while I'm got him in handcuffs and everything. Started beating him. And I took the handcuffs off him. And this thing, you know what? Go home with your mama, because she's going to do more
than you.
And he said, ever since then, he had messed up. He said he'd been on the straight path and all of that. So my point to all saying all of that is sometimes you just, you know, give the spirit of the law, you never know how it's going to work out for somebody.
I mean, and some of them incidents do help out. You out and better you, you know, in a different kind of send you on a different path. But you got to get a lot of cops like that. I think you need way more than one.
Plus, you're talking about small town policing, too.
Yeah, you have to have more than one that give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Because today, black cop, it's like you got to prove to this white cop, I'm just as aggressive as you. And he put himself out there. Yeah. Would you agree with me?
Really? No, I agree. And that was the beauty of our department, that we didn't have to tolerate that as much because we had a little bit of management that were black. You know, it was like, we was 50-50. We was still 50-50.
But that's a lot of black cops.
Yeah, that's a lot of 50-50.
But I think, and I really believe...
of a 200 men, you know.
And I really believe in my heart, though, that's the problem. Like, the police bases, you know, like, prime example, like, in Compton, it's one thing. When I'm at mom's house, it's one thing, right? You're going to see brothers, people from around the area. So it's not such a disconnect even getting pulled over. Most of them wasn't even leery about pulling the motherfucker over. They felt like...
They wasn't fear.
They knew they had the upper hand. Yeah.
Especially with the white cops right now today. Just imagine a white cop coming from New Hampshire.
Huntington Beach and some
shit. Now you got some black cats out there looking fearful as a motherfucker.
Yeah, that
got
to look real crazy.
Just imagine what he thinking walking up to this cat. And then, you know, I don't know if this dude finna blow my fucking brains out or not. But once you got the situation to where, okay, I'm in a good medium with this person, that's where you're supposed to keep it. Some police see that they got it's good, and then they just take it
It's just human beings, man. Human beings go too far.
I think they have to get... They want this name for themselves. They want to be known.
Like a fucking gang
I want
member.
Y'all to know and spread the word. Tell don't fuck with me type about of me. Shit. Yeah, yeah. I think some of them just try to get that, try to put that in you. But, yeah. I mean, I had a gang unit from Linwood Shares, Graves.
Prime example. All the time. And, glad you brought them up.
Graves came in.
The Vikings, huh?
Graves,
the fucking Vikings.
Exactly, the Vikings.
Yeah.
Pat Graves the fucking Vikings.
And Jackson came.
Sergeant Jackson.
You know, I had photo albums this big with every blood in the motherfucker. I had the 20 red rags.
Sergeant Jackson usually was pretty fair. I'm surprised. Sergeant Jackson was usually pretty fair.
This motherfucker, I'm going to make a long story short. Yeah. This motherfucker, Graves, slapped the shit out of me when I didn't answer this question. Now, why the fuck he do that, though? I'm sitting here. You know how you go into the little gang unit in their little trailer, they handcuff you. Okay, you know. You can do what the fuck you want to do to me at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then he wanted me to do I think they was coming out with cops or some shit.
So they had showing off with some video cameras.
Do this video shit. Man, the motherfucker slapped the shit out of me. I felt lesser than a motherfucking man because I can't do nothing to this motherfucking man just slapped the shit out of me.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, we don't have a choice.
Nah, I done been in a situation where he was about to fight back the black cop, though.
Because I wasn't handcuffed.
Yeah, you wasn't handcuffed, though.
I wasn't handcuffed, and I was standing around a gang of other cops. Here go a cop that I used to bully or talk shit to. Wait a minute. That I used to talk shit to
swimming pool.
A long time ago.
He remembered that
now
shit.
Now he became
you a motherfucker,
cop.
I'm back.
But
you still now, like, I don't give a
this
fuck.
This motherfucker is chasing me in the black and white in the police car now. He catches a situation, dead hand caught me, and then he goes into the station like, oh, yeah, I caught my chain. Like it was something. And he was being bullied. He was being a bully to me for a minute. Yeah. And then the only thing that saved my motherfucking ass in there was Reggie Wright Sr. Because when that motherfucker said, I saw you do it, you ain't see me do a motherfucking thing. And he went to hit me. I'm coming back like that, and Reggie grabbed me. What the fuck you think you're doing? You gonna fuck around and get yourself killed in here. And slung my ass to the other side over there. Okay. Damn. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, and Reggie Wright.
Yeah.
So they'd have beat the shit out of me if I'd have hit that officer. They got to protect each other. Yeah. But, I mean, at some point you get tired of it. You get tired of these police officers doing you the way they do you.
Yeah.
Man, I sitting here and got my hands on the car. Black police officers say, fucking sagging. Whack with the fucking billy club. Right down the edge of my ass, my back, where I'm sagging
at. You had some cops like that.
Yeah, you had a lot of them full of shit.
Yeah, you had some.
You know what I'm saying? So you don't get a good rapport with that type of police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you have an altercation with this or come in contact with this cat, it's going to be something. Because it wasn't nothing good. Reggie will tell you, come to the police station, you should come to my house. We had these rolling windows. And every time they came, because all the gangbangers came to my house, if you dishing, come on killing. You know what I'm saying? We had the garage hooked up and all this shit. And I used to cuss them out through the window. Get the fuck out of my yard, whoop whoop, and roll the windows up. And the only person that can make me open that door and come outside and talk was his dad. You know what I'm saying? We beat the shit out of these cats in Linwood. Knocked their teeth out and all this shit out, right? I told the motherfucker, don't fuck with my sister, don't talk to her, no nothing. They walked through the hood. Y'all must think I'm playing with y'all. So when I see them, I takes off. So the OG is like, can't let them walk away. Okay, I ain't gonna let them walk away then. So we beat the shit out of these dudes. And who they send to come get us? Officer Wright, Reggie Wright. So we hitting fences, boom, 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 boom. And Reggie said, I ain't chasing the motherfuckers. Reggie came to the house.
Where you live?
We live right down the street from him. You tell James to call me. He know he fucked up. He did that wrong. You shouldn't beat them boys like that. Tell him you got to talk to me. Mama tell him we on Pine waiting on him. And me and Drew and him sat there on Pine, and Reggie came and got us, took us to jail. But it was only because it was him, the way he treats you. You know what I'm saying? But everybody ain't finna get that, because if you talk shit to him, you done fucked yours off. Yeah. Even with this one. You ain't smoking in the jail cell if you're coming in there talking shit to him. You know what I'm saying? But we were all cool. And I had a good rapport with the Wright family. That's you know what I'm saying? But you get some cops that are really trying to get a name for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Just like gangs.
And they try to do you in. Yeah. But like I said, Graves and them was the coldest motherfuckers ever. You know, rest in peace, Big Frank. True story. Big Frank, we used to call him Six Flags. You remember Big Frank, don't you?
I know what you're talking about.
And Big Frank just got out of prison. And before he went to prison, he went to prison for raping his teacher. She gave him an F. I said, well, why the fuck you rape her? Because she gave you an F. She wouldn't let me fuck. So I raped the bitch. And woo, 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 woo. Wow. So he used to walk through Santana Block with a red rag right here, a red rag in his back pocket, red rag around his head. So we kicking him one day, and Graves then pulled up on him. And why did they start taking his rags and throwing them on the ground? He went nutty. I had to calm him down. Frank, they finna kill you. They finna shoot him on Stockton. They finna kill him. And they took him to jail. And that morning, they found him behind the bungalows right there. That's on the streets. And then they rolled up and said, y'all heard neighborhoods, the N-hoods killed your boy Big Frank, huh? Automatically, we'll be, oh, Frank dead? Oh, it's on. Let's go get these niggas. But y'all just took him to jail yesterday.
Something ain't adding up.
Killed him, his girl, she was pregnant, shot him with a shotgun right behind the police station. We knew it was them. We knew it was them.
Who? No, it was who?
The police.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
We knew it was Graves now.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Yeah, that's how Big Frank died, right? With the shotgun.
Let me let y'all know once again, Graves was not a Compton police officer.
I didn't say he was. I said, I'm making sure these little people out here. That's why I looped it.
Yeah. Because being at mom's house and being at pop's house was completely different. Being at mom's house, the police jack you up. So where I grew up, you got to think this is when the 7-0s first started tripping on black people.
What year was this?
So this had to be.
You grew up
91.
By Acacia Block, right?
Yeah.
So you knew G-Ray and all of them.
What? That's like about.
I told them a story about G-Ray killing those 7-0s.
Those CB-70s.
Those CB. They didn't understand about G-Ray.
So country.
Yeah.
Pool. All. I know all of them, right? So that's mom's house, right? Yeah. So when the 7-0s first, before it got over to the looters, you know, when it got over there, when it was first right there.
What they call that set of 7-0s? It was Tiny Gangsters or Chico's?
No, they was just, I don't know. Yeah, because they got I knew some of them too. Yeah. Poppy, I knew Poppy. Yeah, remember the black dude that was from over there?
And then Reese, was the boy with the messed up teeth. It was so much.
So when it first started, when they first started tripping off black people, like, we knew everybody, you knew them all. Something happened, whatever it is, it got fucked up.
When G-Ray, big brother, Big G-Ray got killed.
Big G-Ray got killed. Yeah. And they thought it was the Nutties, but it was supposed to be the 7-0s.
Well, y'all know where all that shit come from, though, right? Stem from, right?
Prison, huh?
The Mexicans was getting a raw goddamn deal in Compton. The mid-80s, early 90s,
When their numbers were smaller.
Then
their numbers got bigger.
Let me tell you something, man. I wouldn't give a fuck what little, what they call their little nightclubs. It was on and cracking.
Oh, at the bars and
motherfuckers
stuff.
Motherfuckers paid their rent off them.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers bought cars off them. Until they got to the point where.
That's a different type of Mexican.
Fuck.
That's like a Pisces.
No. Yeah, that's the Pisces.
They shut that shit down. I don't know if the kid grew up.
The Border Brothers, they call
the
them
right
and stuff.
Motherfucking cereal,
oh, you saying the kid.
But they said, fuck that.
I'll never forget.
Not
so,
no more.
Right on, motherfucker. So right at, the gas station at right by Compton High School.
Yeah.
Right, so.
That's where your boy got killed. Well,
Dig this. That was over there by Rob's.
Across the street.
But no, this is so closer. So right on Acacia and the laundry.
Yeah.
The preschool that's right on the corner.
I know what you're talking about now.
And I'll never forget it, man. It was like they hit up CK, BK, PK, nigga killer. That shit fucked me up. The first time I ever had a gun put on me, we was walking up Acacia going back home. Feel me? I had to be about 11. And some 7-0s put up. A muzzle came out the motherfucking window with holes in it, like some shit out of a movie.
Yeah, them fools was riding.
And then they started making money, too.
They was shooting motherfuckers just on the strap.
Yeah, they started making money.
But back to the point, and not to cut you off, OG, but being with the Compton police, it was cool. Like, you could tell they handled you with care. When I go to Pop's house, and you had to deal with them Linwood, because you got to think the Linwood Sheriff Station is right there. Remember it moved to where the women's jail is now?
Yeah.
That's right where it is. So we hustling. So it was always fucked up. It was always a new white person from some weird town that was entirely too big and too buff. Always had something to prove. And you just got to be like, it was going to be fucked up.
It's like being in a county jail, man. You see them and they have no respect for you. And you could tell the ones that was prejudiced. They would do certain things to blacks. And the ones that, like the riders, they you could tell what they were scared of. But they took the aggression out on that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many of them. You hear the police sheriff in the motherfucking county jail, they look like they're coming out of walls.
Yeah.
It's so many of them. But me, you know how you walk through child and shit and they give you an apple on your tray and shit? Fruit you ain't supposed to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
So
coming to 4300.
Yeah, we coming back and shit. And old bitch ass, what's his name? Reyes, whatever. Hey, this motherfucker pulled me out, get my apple, and we coming through these bars. They on this side, well, in the gate where you close the gates.
Yeah.
Walking past the motherfucker. Motherfucker threw the apple. Apple hit the bar, splash on everybody. And it's like, you can't do shit to this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because you're in a losing battle. You can talk shit. You know what I'm saying? They started riots in there. You know what I'm saying? Fucking with cats. What's the name from Bounty Hunter? I don't want to put him out there, but he was on the phone talking to his people. I think it was his mama. They tell him to get the fuck off the phone. So he up there, he talking, he about to get off the phone. I guess he didn't move fast enough. Motherfucker came, hung it up. Motherfucker, in front of my mama? Bing, bing, bing. Now there's a riot. They had motherfuckers, they had the had motherfuckers racking the gates and they had these goddamn the what you call them you lay on, the mats, and they had them all like this. They had motherfuckers, the ones that was far in the tier, like on Charlie Road, they dumping on them with the rubber bullets. They ain't give a fuck. And then they had motherfuckers coming through the whole motherfucker wet and smoky. And then they got these things. You got to go around and go through the curves and shit. Then you got the canines. They got the dogs just barking in your motherfucking face. And then you got the police whacking your motherfucking ass, taking you all the way out through the hall, through the infirmary. Some motherfuckers, they didn't even take to the infirmary. And they was, like, busted up. Like some of the homies was really fucked up. But this is how they treat you. And then with the county jail mentality, they put these motherfuckers on the streets. So they already feeling like they can fuck you like they did then. The only thing that's saving the majority of us right now is a goddamn phone and people videoing, taping shit. And now they're cautious about beating the shit out you like
Well, Rodney King. Rodney
King. Don't tell me about Rodney King. It wasn't his fault.
After that, I'm not saying that. I'm not even going there today. I'm not even going there with y'all today. Rodney King, after that, law enforcement learned that the shit that they were doing is not going to be tolerated
people
anymore by society. I mean, then everybody used to turn their heads. Yeah. You know, the juries, the judges, the DAs, and all of that. But when those four cops got put on trial, and cops all
really
that,
beat that case though.
They got acquitted.
They got 30. Yeah. They got
when they got put
time,
on that
though.
Trial. But then they got indicted federally.
Yeah, but they were acquitted of all state charges.
Okay. But when,
that's
but
what
cops
really
knew
matters.
But my point no. The thing
like
was the lesson.
Artists knew they was going to get off and of their shit and
once they saw that people weren't tolerating that anymore.
Yeah.
Cops changed their
but
tune.
But they still fucking up
they
still
fucking
doing
up
it.
But
because
they changed their tune. I mean,
why are they still fucking up?
It was
because
90%
it's in their nature.
It was 90-80%. I mean, I've done it. After a pursuit, you chase some niggas, you whoop their ass. After that stop,
what?
You whoop their ass.
I'm not going to front on you. Because if I had to chase a nigga, I'd fucking
even
you
whoop that
nigga
got his ass.
Reg has already admitted to this a couple of years ago.
Let me explain something to you.
I respect that.
Oh,
you finna make me do all this running?
You respect that.
You motherfucker.
Man,
I'm
the running, thing I'm talking about in a police
man,
car.
Let me tell you something. I'm talking about and Reggie know this, and you should know this good goddamn well. Everything a nigga do in the street is to survive. And I'm talking about trying
to
live.
I'm just trying to tell you how.
If I got to run from you because I'm selling just some fucking crack, you don't know what you're running into. Because there could be some motherfuckers on this other side of the wall that blow your fucking brain off.
I'm just telling you how
that job ain't that motherfucking serious.
I'm just telling you how it was.
And how many of these foot pursuits have ended up with the cop pulling out his gun and airing the dude out?
Nah, we ain't had that.
I know, I'm not saying you, but.
We ain't had too many of those.
In the last 5 or 6 years, we've seen a handful of those.
But I believe. Now it's a totally different game.
But I believe, and this is the point. Like, if you from Compton, it's the way you're going to treat him. If you not from Compton, you might be scared. Or you might be mad that you don't like black people in the first place.
Yeah, that goes to James' point two weeks ago. On the Gangster Chronicles, where you said that having the black cops, more black cops
from the area,
less conflict. Of course, some of them gonna take you to jail, but some of them will give you breaks, they're definitely not gonna shoot you.
Exactly, it's a formula, man. Right. If I respect you, you respect me. If vice versa.
You didn't respect me when you took off and ran and heavy chasing down.
I'm running because
it's like, wait a minute.
I am not here to give say here. If you want to do your job and chase me, fucking chase me. You know what I'm saying? Still don't give you cause to say you can whoop my ass.
I'm not saying it was right.
Because when you fight them back, you got a lot of them do. The first thing they can do, and it's justified because he got a gun. You're gonna lose. It ain't even worth it.
No, that baton, that little blackjack.
A police supposed to think just like a human being. Not because he's wearing the badge and the things and the options he got.
We're talking about 1990.
Well, you ain't no police no more.
I'm talking about 1990, 1992, what happened.
So would you chase me?
I ain't talking about 2000. I ain't chasing nobody now. I mean, I'm 53 years old now.
I ain't gonna lie. If I was a police officer, if a motherfucker made me chase, if I had a kid and he made me chase him for some shit, I'm fucking him up.
This right here goes out to every police if you're even watching. A police job is to think.
Yeah, whatever.
A police job is to understand. Okay, it's whatever. That's why they getting killed, but they ain't publicizing this shit.
Yeah,
but a police, if
y'all complain,
my job
y'all
is going to be as
killing.
Easy as I can make it. I'm going to befriend. I'm going to talk to people and where people understand me and I understand them. My job is not to make you afraid of me. You're supposed to trust me.
See, now you got a 53-year-old man.
I ain't finna get out there and do all that extra
versus
shit.
Versus an 18 and a 20.
I wouldn't
20,
give a fuck
you
if you was
younger.
14. I'm not finna pull my gun because I can't catch your ass. Bye. I catch you someday.
Yeah, whatever.
I see you again. Yeah. Let him go.
It didn't happen like
man,
that.
I'm not hopping no motherfucking gates because a nigga got a $10 rock. And I'm damn sure I ain't finna kill a motherfucker because he on the corner selling cigarettes.
There's a lot of extra work.
Come on, man.
But I ain't gonna lie, if I had to chase you, I'm fucking you up. I'm not gonna Rodney King.
Not now. Not now.
So you can't be mad at a cop if he beat the shit out you.
Not now.
You can't be mad at a cop if I mean a regular man, a civilian, if you hit the gate and he flipped your ass and bust your neck.
Hear me out. Hear me out right now. Hear me out right now. If the police ever did something to me, if it's a story, Glasses Malone get killed by police, you could bet your bottom dollar you could start suing them. I ain't did shit. One
man,
time,
that was
me
my
and the police
got killed.
Let
man,
me tell you something.
My best friends got killed in the line of duty.
I'm gonna be cool, cause you know what? I'm not finna play with you. It's all the odds in your favor. Feel me? So I'm gonna give you my license, whatever I got, and put my arm out the window. So if something happened to me, y'all can rest assured start getting a lawsuit together and be
well,
like,
we can rest assured a whole bunch of motherfuckers.
We talking about
2019
now. We were a lot smarter. Everybody, society's a lot
they
smarter.
They still die in 2019. Police kill a motherfucker when they want to. It all depends on.
I just think it's strange.
It's different. It's a lot different now.
It's a lot
different.
It's a lot
strange.
But they sliding through there.
It's a lot different.
You know, I'm just like this. It's a lot of good motherfucking police officers. Retired and some on the force still.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, man, Greg is 100 to me. It's cool as a motherfucker. Cool as a motherfucker.
But do you know a lot of Greg history?
No.
Greg had a history too in the 90s.
About what? Beating up niggas?
We'll talk. He got history as well.
The Tupac police
okay.
Dude?
Yeah. Well, he ain't what you call it. He ain't doing it now.
That's my point. That's my point I've been trying to make to you the whole time.
That was more masculinity back then.
Well, that it
no,
was
it's
accepted
more now
then.
than it ever been.
Now
it's back
power.
Then,
now the police.
They do
stuff.
Listen
to
the difference. They quicker
no,
to pull the
back
gun
then,
out.
Back then, it was easier to kill you back then.
But they didn't.
It was always,
didn't.
They did.
It wasn't as many.
Not as bad.
If them motherfuckers publicized how many motherfuckers that
they
killed.
Tell me one dude from the hood that got killed by the police. One person from looters or mob that got killed by the police.
Man, every time the hood was quiet and nobody killing nobody, somebody died.
They killed Fraud from Cedar Block, right?
Bullshit.
Who from Cedar Block got killed by the police? Compton.
That was street tradition. Shit. If niggas ain't gangbanging and niggas ain't killing each other, the police killed somebody and came and told you.
Don't come
killed the motherfucker.
Pulling up 2008, 2009. Oh, I'm talking about the '90s and all of that we're talking about.
The '90s.
The police.
That's what we're talking about.
A fair job.
They didn't. Yeah. We didn't have those type of shootings.
I think
stuff
when
like
you import these strangers, we both agree. When you import these strangers into the community,
well, I can tell you Cody. I can tell you a whole bunch in 2010.
Because I don't think no brothers would have tripped off you sagging to where they hit you with a billy.
Bullshit.
It wasn't about that. If he got hit with that billy because he was on the car talking shit. Mouthing and talking shit. And that's why they don't put.
Reggie, have you ever talked shit to the police?
Hell yes, exactly.
Shit to a lot of
all the time.
When I told you to suck my dick and to fuck away from me, you ain't taking me to jail. Not today. Y'all better go about y'all business. Y'all better leave me the fuck alone and go.
All that.
True story. Reggie them come to my house.
Yeah, I talk shit.
Reggie them come to my house and shit. We partying. And they tell me I got to shut down.
Club James.
I ain't shut down. Shit, everybody in the back stay in the back and I locked the gate. So it was something. I said something. So they want to take me to jail.
They had me come outside.
So once I get outside to the police car, they telling me they're going to take me to jail. No, y'all ain't. So I'm stiffed up and I'm standing by the fucking door of the car and they trying to put me in. They trying to get my hands. I'm resisting like a motherfucker. I ain't going nowhere. Y'all ain't taking me nowhere. What the fuck did I do? Lo and behold, here come a motherfucker from the back, the other side of the police car, pulling on my motherfucking belt and my pants. So the motherfucker pulling and tugging, and when I meant to look to see if motherfucking police pulling me like this, it's my brother Buncher. Pulling me and helped them motherfuckers handcuff me and
put
took
them in
me
the
to
car.
Jail. I didn't fuck
you
with that.
You finna make everybody go to jail.
I didn't fuck
like,
with
you
that.
No, he did that to save him from getting a billy club upside his head.
Okay.
That's what he was doing. He saved his ass. Buntry wasn't trying to hurt him. He was saving
like,
him
man, come
from
on.
Himself.
This ain't nothing.
James used to be so fucked up and loaded and drunk. Well, he would fuck you.
Oh, his reputation precedes him, dog.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I used
people
to get
don't
drunk
think,
and do stupid
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. And people think, you know, we've been pumping it up. No, James was really that nigga.
What?
He was really
bro,
that
if
nigga.
If I start
back,
telling all
yeah.
the shit that I've heard,
yeah.
and just,
yeah,
it's,
really,
it's
shit.
Crazy.
Yeah, I used to, I was an alcoholic at one point, and alcohol was my in-between guy. I didn't have to be James. I didn't want to be Mob James. I just wanted to be him. I wanted to be that one that did what I did that night. And drinking allowed me to do that with no filter. I didn't give a fuck who was in the way. I pick and chose. You know what I'm saying? Who and whoever is going to be.
What was your drink?
Eight ball early in the morning. 800. Old English.
O-E.
And then when the sun going down, Hennessy or vodka and cranberry, vodka, gin and super soccer way back then. And from there, it was over.
And it's camel, no filter.
If you were in my motherfucking way and I'm drunk and we
camel,
all smoke.
Camel, no filter.
Yeah, smoke camel's
too.
Yeah, and now I am ready to trip. I am ready to shoot something. I am ready to hit something. Let's roll.
Only reason a lot of things happened was Reggie Senior and him had a good relationship.
Yeah.
And they knew this, how Reggie go over there and deal with James.
And he used to come. Every time something happened, he'd come over there.
Yep.
What the fuck wrong with you? What, Reg? Don't give me that face. Don't give me that bullshit. What the fuck wrong? If I catch you across over that goddamn Long Beach, or woo woo woo, if I hear you woo woo, hey, man, Reggie saved a brother has many times, and just in a spot or a place ready to do stupid shit, you know what I'm saying? And Reggie was more of like a father figure,
yeah.
Something I didn't have,
yeah.
You know, and you know,
This is an incident that happened with Lip Dog.
These dudes, they had kidnapped Lip Dog and was taking him around, making him point out everybody's houses. These are some dudes from the Bunny Hunters. I heard you told the story, but it's a little different. And these dudes was taking them around, and he was pointing out everybody's houses. And somehow Reggie Sr. got the information that the Bunny Hunters had him in the van, taking him around. He called somebody from over there, told y'all better bring that boy home and drop him off right now, because they were going to kill Lip Dog. Lip Dog has always told me, he said, man, your daddy saved my life. Because he made a call, and they just dropped his ass off.
That's what's wrong. That's all it is, man.
And policing has changed. Yeah. I don't think it'll ever go back to
they don't have a choice.
These are losing another. These bunny hunters. These are in L.A., you know.
Well,
LA.
It's not that far. It's on
yeah,
the team, man.
But, you know, yeah. It was just because, he grew up. He knew most of my mama. The good thing about it, because he grew up in the Imperial Court housing projects. And he just, you know, knew me.
Yeah, they used to come to my house all the time, dog. And just bother me. I ain't fucking with nobody.
It's crazy. Think about if you always, man, they could have, all kind of crazy shit.
I mean, that goes both ways.
But yes. Think about it now. At this point, you could save somebody's life because you didn't run into the wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what he's trying to do.
Oh, I'm
No, man. That's the point, that you alive now to really tell somebody something.
The life and the things that I chose to do and the things that I got away with being a gang member is fucking ridiculous. If, you know, I can honestly say what I know now, and if I can go back and do it, I'd do it all over again. Some things I won't take back because, I mean, it was just me. But I would go back and change damn near 90% of my life. You know what I'm saying? Because going back and looking at it, none of the shit that I did, none of the things that I took off this planet was worth it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And being able to say, I changed from that to this. You know what I'm saying? Just a 100% turnaround. And now I'm trying to help. I want to help fix this. I want to be a part and have my hand in helping with this, or this little kid, or that little kid, or whatever the case might be. That's where I'm at right now today. So it's totally different from then, because back then, my life was self-destruction. Self-destruction. It was just, it's what happened.
Yeah. All right, guys. I want to thank Glasses for coming to do a second episode.
Yep. Happy belated Labor Day to you guys, man.
Back-to-back episodes. And I want to remind everyone, September 26th, Reggie, James, and myself, Alex, will be doing the live broadcast at, I believe it's already been mentioned on the Instagram, but we'll have more details for that. But September 26th, just mark your calendar, come down and support. I want to thank everybody on iTunes and Spotify and all the other platforms that are listening to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. We're out.
We love you.
Peace.
Look.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20. Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.